Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and without Him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in Him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness does not overcome it. That's the opening line from the Gospel of John, a book in the Bible that brings us to Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come before you this morning as a gathering of your creation in this place, and we come to you looking for signs. We want to see miracles and wonder, and we want to see even glimpses that bring us to faith and that help us to endure in faithfulness throughout our lives in this beautiful and terrible world. In the name of Jesus, amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In the beginning was the Word. Nothing in the whole wide world was made without Him. Jesus, the Word of life, the bread of life, where our abundant life originates from the beginning. Do you believe this? Are you willing to believe? What is stopping you from taking a leap of faith today? Because that's what it's going to take. It's going to take a leap of faith. These stories in the Gospel of John are all aimed pretty much at one thing. They're showing us things that are hard to believe and saying, we want you to believe these things. Again, they'll show us things that really are, when you think about them, hard to believe and saying, are you willing to believe? We're at a wedding. And this is not like a wedding that many of us are used to going to that lasts a few hours. This is a wedding that lasts a week and keeps going and going. And by the time you get to the end of it, most of the people in the room are plastered or passed out. This is a week-long wedding. The problem that they confront Jesus with, if you've never heard this story, go read the Gospel of John today. It has this story in it, and it introduces us to Jesus with, we ran out of wine. That's our introduction to the first miracle of Jesus. We ran out of wine. And so what's interesting in the story is that Jesus very nonchalantly changes water into wine, and not like gas station box wine, but the good stuff. The really good stuff. And I got to take your word for it, because wine's always gave me a headache. I don't drink wine, but the good stuff, right? Do you believe this? Are you willing to believe? What is stopping you from taking a leap of faith? In the very short span of John 4 through 6, just three chapters, Jesus heals a sick son, then Jesus heals someone who's been paralyzed for 38 years. No, by the way, Jesus heals the man on the Sabbath day, which was a big deal since people weren't even supposed to walk across the street, much less change a person's life. And since the word worship even means a good work, Jesus was, you know, way out of line, at least according to the powers that be. Where was I? Oh yeah, sick son, man paralyzed at least 38 years. Then Jesus takes a few loaves and a few fishes, feeds thousands of people, and then walks on water. You believe this? Are you willing to believe? Are you afraid? You know, this is a safe place. You can think this way for a moment. Are you afraid that maybe it was all just smoke and mirrors? And that there may have been some, you know, explanation for all of this? So there's that. Or what's stopping you from taking a leap of faith? What about the man born blind? You know, we can, right up to that point in the Gospel of John, we can wonder, okay, maybe there's explanations for these. Man born blind, that's a game changer. He wasn't pretending, because his parents were there and people knew who he was. And if that one's not enough, what about Lazarus, the man, the friend of Jesus, who was all the way dead and buried for days and days when people saw Jesus bring him back to life? Do you believe this? Are you willing to believe? What's stopping you from taking a leap of faith? You know why the Lazarus story comes to the front of the story so much in the Gospel of John? It's because all these other stories, in some way or another, could be explained away. And you know what happened? Pretty much, you know, for the last few hundred years that people have been reading these stories, it's exactly what they've done. They've tried to explain them away. All these other stories, I've seen it through the years, you know, that maybe the paralyzed guy at the pool was faking, that perhaps it just appeared to the disciples that Jesus was walking on the water. I've heard it all before, but what about old dead Lazarus? There were witnesses, and there were people at the wake, and there were people who'd been grieving for days, and they were watching him come out of the tomb. But I'm going to tell you today, if you're willing to take a leap of faith and believe that this happened and that Jesus is real and alive, it's not going to be enough. It's just not enough. Because what the Gospel of John and what the history of God's people do when we come to stories like this is not, are you willing to believe in an event? The question becomes, are you willing to base your life and your beliefs on the testimony and teaching of other people? Are you willing to base your life on this? Let me ask you this, when it comes to, are you willing to base your life and beliefs and testimony on the teaching of other people? Let me ask you this. What doesn't fall into that category? The only reason that you can understand a single word that I am saying is because someone somewhere along the way passed on to you how to speak English. Everything in our lives, in some form or fashion, has been passed on to us. It's been passed down to us. Everything in our lives, whether teachings or experiences. So let me pass something on. Come and learn and experience. And this is where we get the first Easter. This is John 20, late in the story. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, which, by the way, is John, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they've laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. Sorry. You gotta love John. He bent down and looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as they did not understand the scriptures, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord. I don't know where they've laid him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I'll take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I've not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Although not one of the seven miracles of the Gospel of John, the Samaritan woman's story back in John 4 forms the basis of everything that happens since that moment. Someone encounters Jesus and then goes and tells the story. In John, the Samaritan woman is the first Christian preacher. But then, another woman encounters Jesus, the alive Jesus, who once was dead and buried, just like Lazarus. And what does Mary Magdalene do? She goes to those who already know Jesus and preaches the first Christian sermon. And the title of her sermon is her opening line, "I have seen the Lord." Mary Magdalene goes and tells people who had heard it all before, but who had not quite heard it all yet. Kind of like us. We live in an age where we think we've pretty much heard it all. Maybe close, not quite there yet. It's one thing to say, as we've been saying all morning, Christ is risen, and for us all to proclaim together, he is risen indeed. But today is actually about taking a leap of faith beyond saying something that happened. I'm all for our nice sayings at Easter, on Easter Sunday. But it's not enough. Today is actually about taking a leap beyond saying something that happened and then to say, today, as we live into, I have seen the Lord. And so in the tradition of those two early Christian preachers, I stand before you today asking for one thing. I'm just asking that you believe me. That's all I'm asking. Just believe me. Do you believe this? Are you willing to believe? What is stopping you from taking a leap of faith? And just like the paralyzed man whose life was changed, and a man who spent the rest of his life singing, "I once was blind, but now I see," I want to continue the tradition of that first Easter Sunday sermon preached by Mary Magdalene to those who knew Jesus, or at least who thought they did. And like her, I want to open this morning's sermon with the line, "I have seen the Lord."